540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. President Biden says the fight isn't over after the Supreme Court throws out his student loan forgiveness plan. The highly anticipated decision means student loan obligations that were on hold for 3 years during the pandemic are now expected to resume in the fall.
I believe the court's decision to strike down my student debt relief program was a mistake, was wrong.
President Biden denounced the Supreme Court's ruling rejecting his student loan debt relief plan. In the 6-3 ruling, conservative justices in the majority said the Biden administration overstepped this authority with the plan to cancel or reduce some $400 billion in debt for millions of people.
That's CBS's Willie James Inman. CBS's Major Garrett with details on another case the Supreme Court ruled on.
The Supreme Court's conservative majority also prevailed on a case pitting free speech against gay rights. Lori Smith, a web designer from Colorado, wanted to create specialized web pages for weddings, but not for same-sex couples, arguing doing so would violate her First Amendment rights.
I'm a Christian. I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and I want to create messages that are consistent with that faith.
In a 6-3 opinion, the court sided with Smith, ruling that her free speech rights superseded state anti-discrimination laws.
Tens of millions of Americans are on the roads and in the airports trying to get to their holiday weekend destinations. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
AAA says it's also the busiest on the roads with a record 4th of July weekend ahead. Dustin Frieder is driving from Texas to Colorado.
You know, I looked at the prices. It would cost me over $2,000 to fly four people out there.
Coast to coast, dangerous weather could threaten holiday fun. Denver's been slammed by hail and flooding. A derecho windstorm raced through the Midwest Thursday, leaving tens of thousands without power as extreme heat scorches the south, and smoke from Canadian wildfires blankets the northeast with hazy skies and unhealthy air.
Young rioters are clashing with police and looting stores across France for a fourth straight night. CBS's Elaine Cobb in Paris.
A third of the 900 people arrested last night were under 18, some as young as 12. It's the responsibility of the parents to keep their children at home, said President Emmanuel Macron. Naël's mother, who led a march in his memory Thursday, will bury her son tomorrow, amid fears of renewed violence then and through the weekend.
Agreements were set to expire midnight Pacific time tonight between Hollywood studios and the actors' union, SAG-AFTRA. But both sides now say they've agreed to extend their current labor agreements through July 12th and keep trying to reach a new deal. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people. But there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoick likes to brag about.
The horn of like two. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Is online harassment getting worse? Like, it's always been bad, but does it feel, in your experience of Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, wherever you find yourself socializing on the interwebs, do you see more? Because I know a lot of people, when you're online, it's some crazy statistic of like 90% of people who are online are purveyors. They're not necessarily contributing. They're reading stuff.
Sure.
So if you're not someone who's like me, who willingly puts themselves on the internet, do you notice? Do you feel like things are getting more toxic? If you are someone who typically leaves comments or puts your own things out into the world, do you feel like you're getting more hateful things back? But in general, do you think or do you feel like online harassment is getting worse? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And of course, we're not willfully ignoring the Supreme Court decisions that just came down again for the second day of the row.
Yes.
While I was in the car driving to work. But we actually have UW professor Howard Schwaber is coming here at 11 o'clock, and we are going to talk about ramifications of yesterday's ruling on affirmative action, but then also today's ruling on, I think, because of our experience from last year, maybe not surprising, but still, the wedding cake one, the wedding website one is wild to me because I did look into what we said at the end of the show yesterday.
Yeah.
That the apparently no one did due diligence in the request of this woman to make a website for him and his fiance. No one like picked up to verify that this person was real and the request was real until literally this year when the New Republic reported that they called the person. Stewart is how they're reported. They didn't want to put his last name out. Who at the time that the request was made was married to a woman and is actually a graphic designer himself. And so why would he ever need a graphic designer who lives in Colorado when he was living in San Francisco? And now we have this ruling that it's done, that in 6-3, the Supreme Court has decided that she can not make a website based on religious beliefs. And additionally, they've also said that the Biden student loan forgiveness program is also not legal. So there's a lot to unpack there. And because I haven't necessarily had a ton of time to read it before we got on air this morning, I'm looking forward to talking about that at 11 o'clock with Professor Schwaber. But for now, I wanted to talk about getting your thoughts on, is online harassment getting worse? Because over half of Americans surveyed in the last year reported facing online harassment and hate during their lifetime, including more than 75% of transgender respondents. Advocacy group Anti-Defamation League has said on Wednesday. So this is ADL's fifth annual survey, and it showed reports that online harassment and hate over the last 12 months increased within almost every demographic group.
Wow.
And 52% of the survey respondents reported having faced online harassment, compared to 40% in the survey's previous year. And as you might imagine, the rate of harassment stood at 76% for transgender people, 26% of Jewish respondents said yes, 38% of Black respondents, 38% of Muslims. So still, visible minorities as far as what you can tell what someone might be when you're
looking
engaged,
at their profile.
Looking at their profile. And it was just, it struck me. Because I've found myself, again, as someone who does put themselves and their opinions online, I have noticed recently, specifically on Twitter, I'm much less interested in engaging on there.
Really?
And I can't put my finger on why. And it's not because I don't think I have thick skin, because as I said this before, pretty much live by the motto of don't take criticism from people you wouldn't take advice from. And when it's an anonymous person who doesn't have a real name or a real
right.
picture, it's like, oh, how brave of you to criticize me. I'm very self-conscious of being wrong and being corrected by someone, and like the comments are like, no, like this is like, they fact check me, and I'm like, oh man,
oops,
should I take this down entirely? Because, but as far as being criticized for what my take is and someone disagreeing with me, like I never find that to be, bothersome. I mean, or like harassment. But it's more of like watching the discourse. It's not even like on Twitter for me, it's like, it's not even so much been stuff directed at me so much as like getting on there and seeing in general what people are saying to each other. Like when I'm reading other people's, like good friend Dan Schaefer, who's sure. very active on Twitter, seeing the stuff that people say to him, or the objections they have to his takes on stuff, and just like how ugly it gets. And also there are so many people who have strong opinions from anonymous accounts, and like it just seems exhausting. And so I've just found myself wanting, like, instead, much more wanting to, like, make a video and post it and let people comment versus, engage on Twitter. And so if I'm feeling like that, I'm just so curious if other people are feeling similarly. And that if this feels like this rings true, that online harassment feels like it's getting worse. 844-967-2789. Jane Van Ayer, how are you doing this morning?
I am okay. How about yourself?
Good.
Good.
Fine.
Disappointed by these decisions from the Supremes.
Yeah.
But again, we're going to talk about that next hour.
Are you more disappointed than yesterday? Does it feel different?
It just is so indicative of the larger plan to move us backwards.
Especially because a lot of these cases come from the same group.
Yeah.
Are being brought by, what's the name of that group? It's the same group who was behind Dobbs last year, is the same group that is behind the Mifflin Prostone case that will probably inevitably make it to the Supreme Court. It's the same group that is behind the website case. And what I just find wild is the fact that this decision may have just been made, and it wasn't even a real request.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical situation.
Because in comparison to the wedding cake case from, I'm blanking on what year that happened, but there was a real couple that told their side of the story, and it was two actual parties who were invested on one side versus the other. versus this thing that is entire hypothetical. And I think, am I remembering this right? That she hasn't actually even made a wedding website ever?
Oh, that I'm not sure of. But that would play right along with this.
Yeah. The whole thing is bonkers as far as the reality of is this a real case? And yet now we've made this law and thrown out precedent because of it.
And how is that legal?
I guess this is why I don't want to talk about it now, because I want to talk about Howard when Howard gets here.
Well, ask Howard why.
And so, but at the for the topic at hand, do you, because you don't put a lot on the internet.
I don't.
You're one of those purveyors, though.
Yes, yes.
So what do you feel like you see when you're...
Well, certainly Twitter has gotten worse since Elmo took over.
And that's the thing. Has it objectively, how do we measure if it objectively gotten worse, or you just feel like it's gotten worse? Like, because I feel like it has, but I can't put my finger on explaining why.
Well, it's just the things that are showing up in my feed now that I never wanted to see.
Hmm.
And all it's like, why are you here? And why are you here? And as you said, I don't post a lot of things. But I just feel like the discourse in this country over the last 5 years has degraded. And the insults and the name calling and I think we can thank Donald Trump for that.
Has it degraded, or is it just more public?
I think it's both. I think it has both degraded, and it is, people aren't afraid to say horrible things out loud anymore.
But when, like, I just, because I wonder, were they always saying these things? They just didn't have a platform to say them. Because if you think about it, like, there was not so long ago that people were actively lynching people, right? Like, this is a violent country that has had violent, like, intentions, and you know, the ability to hate other groups has been strong for a very long time. They're just only since in the last 25 years, you could say it out loud for strangers to read. And so it's like, is this how we've always been? Or is it like, has it really gone down? Or is it just the things that people used to say privately, they can say very, very publicly?
And that's it. What they used to, they might have thought it and shared it with a certain circle, but you wouldn't say it in you know, public company. And now I think that filter is gone.
I still have that filter. Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Is online harassment getting worse in your opinion, in your experience? 844-96-PARTY. We also have some Brewers tickets for Wednesday, not for Monday, but for Wednesday, for the night game at 7:10 p.m. against the Cubs at home. So when we come back, we will also be giving those tickets away. So if you would like to go to next week's game, get that dialing finger ready. I have a fun one today. Fun trivia that I think should be easy, but we'll find out. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com. This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 65. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. High of 83 tomorrow, cloudy. Overcast tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, 63. Upper 70s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Turning much warmer Monday with highs in the upper 80s. Showers continue. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to pick up on some of the comments and talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court opinions. I'm going to talk about the practical effects of dividing us by any kind of immutable characteristic. That means unchangeable characteristic, like race, you know, sexual orientation, gender, and all that. Now, I don't know, you've heard of the movie Green Book. You know, it's a good movie. There was a thing called the Green Book that was published for African-American travelers to identify hotels, gas stations, and restaurants where they would not be insulted or thrown out or conceivably suffer violence if they traveled. This was very, very common in the 50s. One of the things I was astounded to find out, there was a Green Book from Milwaukee until the mid-60s, so 65 or 66. There were a couple of gas stations that said it's safe to go to those. They'll let you buy gas. A couple of restaurants, a couple of hotels, only a couple. Safe to go there. They will give you a meal or put you up. This is in the mid-60s. If you were an African-American couple, I remember hearing a woman speak, and she was the wife of a medical doctor, and an African-American couple. And when she was a kid, and this was not in Milwaukee, this was, I think it was either Indiana or Maryland or somewhere. There was a lawsuit because they weren't permitted to swim in the swimming pool. And so a court order came down, required them to be able to swim in the swimming pool. So they went and swam. And that night, the town drained the pool, cleaned it, and refilled it. This is the kind of insult that people have suffered based on race, especially religion, especially, and now in this case, sexual orientation. You can't have a modern society like that. In the early 60s, they finally passed the Civil Rights Act, and it said that hotels and restaurants, any place of public accommodation could not discriminate based on race. Now, it's all well and good to say that, but when I was stationed in the Navy in Little Creek, Virginia, which is right near Norfolk, Virginia, in 1970, the amusement park in Little Creek, outside of Little Creek, had only been integrated in 1967, 3 years earlier, several years after the Civil Rights Act. In other words, if you went, an African-American couple and their kids went to that amusement park, even 4 years, 3 years before I got there, they were thrown out. Now, this gal out in Colorado is a website designer, okay. And you may say, well, the market will take care of that. Everybody, this gets around, who's gonna use her? She's sort of weird, we don't want her. And But that really misstates things, because if this thing spreads, and this Supreme Court says that the Civil Rights Act of 1965 is unconstitutional, and you can do it based on race, then you're going to have arguments like, well, chain restaurants shouldn't, because they make a lot of money and they're incorporated. But how about a mom and pop restaurant somewhere in a small town that's unincorporated, and mom and pop do the cooking and the clearing? You can't have this. The law has got to be, the law is, until these people changed it, the law is that if you hold yourself out as a public accommodation, and that's a broad term, can mean a restaurant, can mean a hotel, and it can mean really any business. I mean, what happens if you have a sole practitioner who's a lawyer and he's not incorporated, or a sole practitioner who's a doctor not incorporated? He says, I'm going to pick certain kinds of patients and clients, and it ain't you. You can't have that. You say, Jack, you want to hold yourself out for a fee or for a profit? That's fine. You will handle everybody. You will, and I don't care if you think you're Michelangelo as a in some kind of a website design. You put up the standard website. What's so hard about the standard website? Nothing's that hard about it. Mark from the SAC made a good point. The Constitution doesn't say the Supreme Court could do this. Who the hell are they to say? Why are they the one branch of government, judicial, legislative, and executive, who's beyond review? They can review, they think, the executive and the judicial. The judicial can impeach the executive. The executive can veto the judicial or the legislative, and it requires two-thirds majority. But these clowns aren't even elected. The president and Congress are elected. These clowns are put in for life. And they're on the take, some of them. They're on the take. And they go, well, I'm a king. I can't be reviewed. I suggested that there be a grand jury convened, certainly on Clarence Thomas for the money he took. And frankly, a grand jury convened to find out who leaked the Dobbs decision. I think it was Alito. But he wouldn't permit himself to be questioned under oath. Now you say, why didn't they subpoena him? Because he would have quashed the subpoena. Because the tarantulas would have said, you can't subpoena Supreme Court justice. They're like the King of England in the 18th century. In the Constitution, Hamilton, one of our great founding fathers, who is also one of the authors of the Federalist Papers, was asked, well, what if we ever have a Supreme Court that's crooked and they're in there for life and they can do whatever they want? And he said, well, that could never happen. He said, they don't have an army. That's because he was the chief of staff to George Washington. And George Washington didn't put up with this stuff. And these English judges said, these taxes are okay and screw you. And George Washington said, oh, really? Well, screw you too. And there was a Revolutionary War. I don't want that again. I don't want that again. But these people are taking an unconstitutional power, say they can't be reviewed by anybody else and can do whatever they want, and they can take money while they do it. Does that sound right? I mean, everybody out there, many of you aren't lawyers. Does that sound like it makes sense? Do you think that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Alexander Hamilton, and Benjamin Franklin had that in mind? I don't think they had that in mind. And we got to do something about it. Here you have tarantulas in the Senate and the House who stick up for them. Moscow Mitch wants to filibuster everything. McCarthy panders to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. We have a division in this country, but people of good faith and on the Republican Party, you do have the Liz Cheneys and the Adam Kinzinger. Stand up. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Do not hang up.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 1215, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court says President Biden had no authority to try to forgive or lessen millions of federal student loans. His reaction, try again using different justification.
I've directed my team to move as quickly as possible under the law. Just moments ago, Secretary Cardona took the first step to initiate that new approach. We're not going to waste any time on this. We're getting moving on. It's going to take longer, but we're getting at it right away.
The high court also sided with a web designer who did not want to do web designs for same-sex couples, legal analyst Lori Levinson.
This one is a setback because it basically says that individuals who feel that they have a different belief can discriminate.
In France, night number four of widespread rioting since the fatal shooting of a teenager, President Emmanuel Macron.
Firmly condemn those who use this situation and this period to try and create disorder and target our institutions. They are responsible for these harrowing acts.
CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to the Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Cassandra Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Cassandra.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, when you were talking about the Green Book, it reminded me of a story regarding Colin Powell. He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was the first African-American to be appointed to that position under George Herbert Walker Bush, and he was later Secretary of State. In his memoirs or in an interview, I can't recall which one, but he talked about how when he was courting his wife, Alma, before they married, he would have to use the Green Book in order to visit his wife when he was traveling from the north, when he was stationed in the north, to travel down south in Alabama. And he would use the Green Book in order for him to know where places where he could stay while he was traveling through the South so he could court his future wife. And I am just amazed with the Supreme Court and their denial of history. And, you know, the descendants of Colin Powell have less rights than he did at this current moment. So that's all that I have.
That's a profound statement, excellent statement. And I'll tell you, in the South, you could see, because there were some athletic teams that would travel, and the black players would have to stay in a different motel and all that. And finally, there were some especially at the Vince Lombardi was one of them, and some of the others who said, that isn't going to happen. You're going to play and keep your mouth shut down there, and we're going to all stay together, or we ain't coming. And there were some college coaches too, and that helped break it up. I have a high regard for Colin Powell. I heard him speak he gave a speech at the medical college in Milwaukee that I went to. It was an excellent speech. He was a patriot and a great Secretary of State. But that really pains me to hear that even he had to do it. But your point that his descendants, at least back then, the Supreme Court understood the history of the country. I mean, thank God they haven't overturned Brown versus Board of Education, for Pete's sake. You know, I mean, everything that they have said can be used to overturn some foundational decisions from the past. Now, you need a federal court. You need a Supreme Court for the simple reason that in the past, when it's done some good stuff, Brown versus Board of Education in 1954 overturned Plessy v. Ferguson, which was in the 1890s. In the 1890s, there was a black guy in Louisiana who got arrested for sitting in a white car on a train. So he brought suit and went to the Supreme Court, and they said, no, as long as there's a car you can sit on, it doesn't matter that it's your second-class citizen. Brown, you know, so 60 years later, our country had changed. There are a lot of heroic black veterans in the Second World War, and attitudes were changing, and Brown versus Board of Education said you could not have separate but equal, didn't cut it in education or anything else. But what happens if you have a court like the present one that says that it's beyond review? It's the only branch of government that can't be overruled. You can overrule, there's a check and balance against the executive and against the judiciary, but not against the Supreme Court, according to them, just because they say it. And they are overturning all this precedent. How about Citizens United? They overturned 100 years of precedent in several Supreme Courts and in several legislators, Congresses. How about Dobbs? 50 years of rights. And you know what they're doing in that one? In that one, it's very sneaky. They're not saying you can't have an abortion or can't have an abortion. They're saying leave it up to the states. 14 states now have almost essentially outlawed it and have said to women, now think about this. OBGYNs are very reluctant to terminate any pregnancy, even if the woman is going to die. Why is that? Because all it takes is one district attorney. We have 72 counties in this state, and there are a number of them that are Republicans. Many of them are not going anywhere ultimately and like to be in Congress. All they have to do is prosecute a doctor and get a headline. So people are basically saying now to a woman, you have to get sepsis. You have to be on the point of death. And then maybe we'll do it, but maybe we won't. Maybe we'll send you to Illinois. So the Supreme Court's very sneaky. They're not going, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling what? The Cretans in 14 states, they don't call them Cretans, but they're gerrymandered legislators, gerrymandered legislatures, and they knew it because they approved the. You see what's going on? Do you see what is going on? And again, thank you for the call. That's excellent. Going back to the lines. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, there's certainly a lot to talk about. I wanted to go off on just a bit of a tangent, but it does relate, and that is the question of what may happen to the concept of legacy admissions to colleges. If race can't be considered, why should the status of your parents, whether they attended this school or not, affect at all whether you should be considered for admission to a school? I started to look at this, and it's astounding the number of colleges and universities that still have legacy as one of the determining factors for whether students get admitted to the college or not. For example, Harvard in their 2021 class had 29% of that class had legacy status. The parents had come there. And it's, coming from a background where that really wasn't a possibility for me because my father was too poor to even attend college he had to work. I find a great bit of joy that some are now talking about the fact that, well, perhaps it's time for some legal challenges on this program of affirmative action for the privileged and that legacy admissions should go away. I'd be curious what your reactions are. Thanks, man.
Yeah, great comment. And I'll give you kind of a cheeky reaction because legacy admissions tend to be Republicans and the donors like it, and therefore the Supreme Court takes money from the donors. So that's a cheeky answer. The other answer, though, is you're absolutely right. With Harvard's case that I read about, first you have to be qualified, you're an athlete, all that, blah, blah, blah. But then there are four or five other categories they have. Race is one, legacy status is one, veteran status is one. I think there's a couple of others. All they did is eliminate the one. And you know what they used it, what they based it on? The 14th Amendment, which was passed precisely to make Black people equal. I mean, there's kind of a grisly, sadistic humor that they were employing here. So I think if you went on legacy, they wouldn't even take the case. They don't have to take the case. Thanks for calling. There's a lot of you on the line. I'm going to take as many as I can. If any of you I can't get to the next segment, please don't hang up. I like these calls. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Jean?
Hi, Matt. Make it short and sweet. Big money is buying our country. They don't give a crap about the people. You can see it in the Republican Party. You can see it in the gerrymandered states. You know, there's attacks on women, attacks on everybody. And you know what? We give big tax breaks for those big donors to put money right back in the Republican Party. But yet we can't help the poor college students that their prices were sky high and the ripoffs of the different universities and how they can't get out of the payments or lower them. So there's a lot of crap going on, and we all need to get out and vote and vote these yahoos out. Thank you very much, Matt, and have a good weekend. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Jean. And you're making a good point, and that is the fact that there were two laws the Republicans put in to stick a knife in students. One of them is you can't declare bankruptcy. By law, you can't declare bankruptcy if you can't pay your student loans. And number two, some of these people were locked in at 8% interest rates, and it's against the law to revisit the interest rate. You know, usually with your house, you can say, lower my interest rate or I'll go to another bank. You can't do that with student loans because the banks didn't want it. This is the kind of baloney that's going on. Next up, Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jack? Jack of Merrimack.
Three possible answers to this issue with the Supreme Court. The most obvious answer to me is expand the court. We've got the original nine justices now, based on the fact that there were nine districts, federal districts, when that was established. There are now 13 districts. That's a reasonable method of saying we need to expand four more members to the court. I don't think that the Democrats and I don't think Biden have the political ethics or will to do that, but they really should. As an alternative, maybe we could enact in Congress a bill that says Supreme Court justices after X number of years, say 10, say 20, become justice emeritus. They cannot vote on any Supreme Court actions. They can be advisory, that's fine, but they cannot vote on those actions. Of course, ideally, it would be nice to have a constitutional amendment that would allow those people to be replaced.
Yeah, no, these are excellent suggestions. The reason Biden has said he won't expand is because that would have to be the Congress. Moscow Mitch would filibuster it, and we don't have 10 votes to overcome it. And of course, McCarthy wouldn't even bring it up on the floor. But I think that's something very much in the back of people's minds. Secondly, you're right, a constitutional amendment limiting their terms to 20 years would be fine with me. But that going to take 2/3 of the Congress, and you're not going to get that. That is the dilemma we're in. Okay, Karina Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Karina?
Hey, Matt. I haven't called you for a while. Actually, I was in Moscow with all that was going on.
What's on your mind, Karina? Thank you. What's on your mind?
I tell you this conversation is all together absolutely silly. The fact is that Americans are even asking for a raise anywhere you go, including your job.
Karina, could I ask you a question? Are you on a speakerphone? Could you take it off speaker? Because we're having difficulty hearing you, and I want my listeners to hear you. Can you take it off speaker?
I'm sorry. So I'm saying is that it's funny that they even concerned about it, because you know perfectly well the only place Americans don't ask for your raise is the international passport. Why? Because nobody cares. Nobody ever asks anywhere else. But nobody even concerned about anybody's race anywhere in the world. Why are we still talking about it? That's just so useless. It's just so useless.
Right. That's a good point. Karina is from Russia, from Moscow, and she's making a good point. And that is, we're the only ones that have race and why do we do that? Thank you for the call. Very good. Curtis of West Allis, you're next, my friend. What's up?
Hey, man, how you doing today? All I can say is I hope the young people wake up and vote in 2024, because this is worse than Reaganomics. You know, I dealt with Reaganomics when I was, you know, in my 30s, 20s and 30s. But now this Supreme Court justice, if they don't go and vote and change the way it is going to happen, the next 50 years for those young people, it's going to be horrible.
You're right. And because some of these people are fairly young and they're going to sit there and they are simply going to be arms of the Republican Party, they'll still take money. And they'll still take money because all 9 of them wrote a letter saying that nobody has the power to impose an ethics rule on them, even though there are ethics rules on every other judge at every level in the country. They like their status of being the House of Lords. It's just like the Senate. They're all House of Lords, 100 of them. This guy Tuberville in Alabama won't permit any promotions for admirals and generals. And everybody, you know, you can say, well, they should all get together and say that you can't do that. Not a single Democratic or Republican senator has done anything to stop him. Not a single one. Now, some of them, like Ron Johnson, are pro-Russia. They're pro-Putin. They like the fact that they're weakening America. But what happens about all the rest of the senators? Once people get in Supreme Court or Senate and they become House of Lords, it goes to their heads. And somebody's got to say to these people, go right up to them at one of the fundraisers or whatever, or, you know, the pig roast or whatever, and say, knock it off. You work for me. I don't work for you. Knock it off. All right, we're going to a break. I see some people still on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10,
The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 66.
Overnight, under overcast skies, westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 83. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night.
Lows around 63.
Overcast, chance for scattered rain showers Sunday and Monday. Upper 70s Sunday, upper 80s by Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Monday, Wisco Paul.
Hey, first of all, I'll say happy Friday to you, Matt, and I hope you have a good holiday. But the Clinton-Trump election turns out to be really big as far as the Supreme Court goes. But I'll just make two quick points. I don't know if there's anything they can't overturn. Even Social Security and Medicare were probably on the table if they really wanted to. And this could go on for 20-plus years. 20-plus years, because the Supreme Court is really young. So that's my two points. Thanks, Matt.
Right. You know, Clarence Thomas in the early 90s was 40-something. So now he's, 70-something. But some of these justices go into their 80s. And in the old days, occasionally they go to 90. So you're right. Absolutely right that we're talking him. And then you have Gorsuch. You have Comey Barrett. Kavanaugh, these are very young people. They could go 30, 40 more years. And if when they step down, there happens to be a Republican president, we could get another tarantula. The Republican Party, listen to me, you out there in the Republican Party, you got to get rid of your tarantulas. Why are you permitting your party to be taken by these people? The party of Eisenhower, party of Tommy Thompson, of Lee Dreyfus, of Liz Cheney, of Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney. Why are you letting this party be taken by tarantulas and continue to vote for tarantulas? Going back to the lines. Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
I have some happy 4th of July numbers from the economy. The Biden economy has added 13 million jobs, which is a record for 2.5 years, including 800,000 manufacturing jobs. We have 10 million applications for new small businesses filed during that time. That is the strongest 2 years on record. We have the strongest growth since the pandemic of any of the major economies in the world. Inflation has fallen for 11 straight months and has come down by more than half. And all of that has been accomplished while reducing the deficit. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you, Bill. And that is excellent news. And thank you very much. And I want to build on that just very briefly. And that is this. You see in social media all the time, you see on Fox News and this and that, that Biden How is Biden doing on the economy? You just heard how Biden's doing on the economy. You just heard how he's doing on the economy. He is fighting with a Congress, and that's why it's so important that he be the president and that Trump not have won last time, that he be the president. He is the most experienced president of the United States in terms of Senate and congressional affairs of all time, going back to George Washington, because he's been in the Senate or vice president or a brief hiatus while he ran for president since 1972. That's 51 years. No one knows it better than he does. No one knows it better than he does. And he managed to put through hard infrastructure with 19 Republican senators backing it, soft infrastructure. He managed to get Manchin and Sinema on board on that one. He put through the debt bill, which extended the debt till after the next election. He put that through. When Republicans have the House, and he got McCarthy to put it through, and he guided McCarthy in how he could neutralize the right-wing wingnuts that are in his caucus. The next challenge we're going to have is this fall, when they actually have to vote on funding. That's going to be another fight. Biden is doing the job. Anybody who tells you, when you're having a beer with them, you're standing around a picnic or something, Biden's no good on the economy, they don't know what they're talking. They really don't know what they're talking about. You heard what Bill just said. 13 million jobs in 2.5 years, a record in the whole history of our country. 800,000 manufacturing jobs, new ones. Everybody goes, we're losing manufacturing jobs. We lose manufacturing jobs under Republican presidents. This president brought in 800,000 new ones. I'll tell you what, the stock market has rebounded after Trump. Inflation cut in half, the best inflation movement downward of all the developed countries. And you have Ron Johnson, and I will never understand why this did not become an issue in the last Senate race, said that he thought that Social Security and Medicare should be revoted every year. Tim Scott, who's the guy down in Florida, the Scott down in Florida. There's a Scott in South Carolina, the Scott in Florida. It's the bad Scott down in Florida. Said it should be revoted on every 5 years. They can't even vote on a budget. We have continuing resolutions every year. They can't even vote on extending the debt limit without drama, without everybody with a knife at each other's throats. Do you think they would have extended Social Security and Medicare if Ron Johnson had his chance? 60% of the people in West Virginia, people over 65, depend in whole or in major part on Social Security to live. It's less than that in Wisconsin, but it's still very substantial. Social Security is the one bill, most important bill in the last century, that changed us from an agrarian society in the 1920s, where people had to move in with their kids when they got older, or live in a hut somewhere, no electricity, and grow a few apples, grow a few carrots, try to make it. We were a primitive society. Franklin Roosevelt modernized us. This Republican Party wants to put us back. Everything they do is to try to cut. Everything they do is to try to cut the University of Wisconsin system, Madison, UWM, all the other campuses, education, every childcare, something like 130,000 kids aren't going to have childcare, 4,000 providers because of these people. This is what they do. We were modernized. We still are, but we're not going to continue for long if these clowns come back to power. We're going to the end of the show. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Happy 4th of July to my fellow veterans, and happy 4th of July to everybody. We're coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in two ways, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.